this time because
sometimes
for this time
anybody can keep busy. But yeah, we're finna start the show. I'm trying to get ready. What is going on? Oh, my bad, Reggie. My volume on my laptop was turned all the way down. The show has started. I'm sorry. I was wondering what was wrong.
Oh, it's all good. I'm saying it's still a good day.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Ground Zero. Celebrating loving the food. Hosted by Naya Betts and Retro Cream. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom. From mass incarceration through efforts for justice reform and in society at large. Today, we'd like to just go over, do an agenda recap to touch on the different things that we're trying to accomplish here at Ground Zero and what is it where we would like to do moving forward based upon what we've been doing in the past as we continue to develop this show. And I say continue to develop because I'm sure that in 2032, I'll be a whole lot more seasoned than I have been for the past year. And I'm sure I'll be a lot better next year than last year. And we'll have a lot more interesting content. And we'll become more and more informative moving forward in the agenda and the goal of liberating the African-American black people of color who are descendants from slavery, who are some people see as the lost Moabite civilization. Some people see African Americans as the Kemet civilization. Some people see us as the lost Haitian tribe. And some people see us as those who have lost touch with their original or rule of faith, which is making a resurgence in Africa, northwestern Africa. The Aruba faith is a spiritual-based faith that originated prior to slavery and the Portuguese invading Africa. I try my best to keep in tune with what's going on in Africa because, not for racial reasons, but because my soul and your soul are attached to Africa. We are descended from Africa. So the rhythm of Africa is the rhythm of our spirit. And here at Ground Zero, we seek to maintain and establish that connection through our efforts in justice reform, because the judicial system has been used to perpetuate and continue and maintain the slavery agenda, the economic imbalance that the prison industrial complex is designed to create has nothing to do with rehabilitation or crime reduction. The social caste system that is perpetuated within the American prison system has everything to do with punishment and destroying people.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Any prisoner that has rehabilitated himself or has been rehabilitated will tell you that you got to rehabilitate yourself. If you don't decide to rehabilitate yourself, then it ain't going to happen because the administration is not interested in rehabilitating you. They are interested in punishing you and controlling you and pitting you against one another in order for greater control.
So, Reggie,
let's
make some connections because it's a lot of words being said. Let's make some connections. So we said, right, it's a punishment system. It's not just a punishment system, but it's a caste system and used to destroy or break down the entity who is going into the system, right? Let's make some connections to the fact that who do you even do that to, right? That's like, it's like it's set up for war crime criminals, right? But they're doing it to citizens who are not captives of war, right? And when we make this connection, we got to understand that the reason that you have something like this is to punish war criminals is because if you have an enemy, that means your enemy opposes you, meaning the beliefs of what you have versus what your enemy have, they conflict. And if it's good enough to have a war, then they must conflict greatly, right?
Right.
And you have to have a way to take your captives of that war, especially if you win that war, right? And you must break them down. You must break them of their traditional ritual and understanding and faith of what they had and that loyalty that they had to their clan or their nation, right?
Right. I'm saying clan is a very apt word to apply to the analysis and question that you're posing and putting and then one us to unwrap together. And because we are war prisoners of war.
Exactly.
In the minds of, not on paper, but in the minds of the Confederates, in the minds of the Ku Klux Klan.
Exactly.
In their mind, they are at war with our civil rights, our human rights, because their identity is wrapped up in their supremacy.
Exactly.
If we equal.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, baby. Yes.
And that's how we, and that's the thing that we have to recognize, first of all. Because the problem we're trying to solve is a serious problem. There are people that are literally at war with black people. That's why they're killing us in the street. It ain't all police. It ain't all prison guards. It ain't all government officials. It ain't the whole of America.
And let's break that down too now, right?
Right.
Why is it not all? You got to understand, right? And if this was war, right, what do they have in war when the target is our target? But surrounding the target, it is innocent, it's bystanders. You get what I'm saying? And what is that? That's the casualties of war, the fault of war. So you got to understand that in this game, we have pawns. And pawns are dispensable, right? We have things in this game, and to them, right, they also need it as a tactic to set up as like smoke and mirrors, right? So at the same time, even though it's not all police that do this, right? And we know that there are good, genuine people who are oblivious to what is going on, and they're just a fucking bystander, right?
Right.
They, in the mishaps, in the crossfires, if they get hit, it's just a point of war. You get what I'm saying? If you're in the way of my target and you get hit.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And then the thing, when I call back.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
All right, so Reggie just disconnected. We'll get him back on the call. But I want to move into another point, right? Because I don't want to dwell and go down that rabbit hole of this. Because it gets deep. Yes, it gets deep. We know this. But we want to stay on topic. We want to stay progressive. We want to stay in line and in rhythmic, like a rhythm where we are not only talking about the issue, but we are solving the issue. and coming up with solutions.
Jefferson City Correctional Center. This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
I'm sorry, y'all. It's so hard
to
multitask
when I'm
doing
this. To refuse this free call, press
2.
If you would like to permanently block your number for repeating calls from this facility, press thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
With what is being said, right? So I want to pivot a little bit, right? So we talked about the idea of the prison system being this caste system for war criminals, and most of its people, right, who are inside the prison system are just the casualties of war crimes on a war that has been declared, well, it was declared a long time ago, but to the casualties and the people who observe this system, they think the war is over, right? And they're just a casualty to that thing, which actually benefits the whole of the entity, which is the corporate Confederate agenda, we've named it, right? But I wanna pivot, right, into something the same, but also a little bit different, and it's going to hit at a solution, right? When we talk about the cycle and the perpetual cycle of people going in and out of the prison system, we know it is they use economics, right, to keep that cycle going, and the reason why it should keep going. Because on one end, somebody is benefiting greatly, and on the other end, somebody is not benefiting greatly. But if you were to ever mess up or disrupt that system where those resources are being snatched, or that advantage, right, is being taken advantage of over this people for this people for these people's benefit, right? When you interrupt that, it opens the floodgates for the whole system to fall. And when you look at every system, it always goes back to economics. This is why we would get confused sometimes, and this is why we have our discussions of, oh, what's going to get us free? Money. No, politics. No education, no, and this is where we get divided, right? We get divided because we get into the nuancedness of all of these things, and because they're different words, we get confused. But the same thing, every time you say education, you're saying economics. Every time you're saying healthcare, you're saying economics. Every time you're saying safety, you're saying economics. All of it is based off of economics, y'all. That's it. They just changed the name.
That's exactly it.
They just changed the name, y'all. That's it. And once you gain this concept and you gain this awareness, then you got to look at the understanding. First, where did they get this economic system from? Us, right? Where did how did they use the economics? Well, they reversed it, right? How did they use it? They reversed the system that we originally had, and they turned it on its head, and they use it upside down
A perfect example of that, right?
Say it. Go ahead.
A perfect example of that is the socialization of Social Security and welfare.
Come on now.
Social Security, right, is something that was developed by the profits as a means of creating.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
A call for a community chest to benefit everybody, because it was a recognition that everybody had to follow hard times.
Right.
And well, let's help each other by creating a cushion, a community cushion. For those that follow hard times, so that we can help, so we can help each other and feed each other.
Exactly.
That's the beautiful part, right?
Right.
And that's the Social Security part, right?
Right.
But they took Social Security.
Ooh, Reggie, you preaching, baby.
Weaponized it as welfare.
Ooh.
weaponize it as WIC.
Right.
And the weaponization part of it comes in where you put growth restrictions on the utilization of this resource.
Not just growth restrictions. That's one piece, right?
It falls and chains hooked to welfare where you can't dig yourself out. It'll act as a cushion. It acts as a sticky mat.
And it's good that you said that, right? You got to understand what the welfare really means, right, for this system of economics, right?
For whose welfare?
Exactly, and it's the welfare of the banks, not the people. Because exactly, because think about this. Say we fall on hard times, and everybody falls on hard times, right? That means if nobody has money, that means the banks go broke. This has already happened, y'all. And they said never again will this be able to happen. What is the solution? Huh?
So they can have a reference point. When did that happen?
What's that? The 80s? When? Not the 80s, the 20s? When did the great market crash?
The Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
Great Depression, yeah.
Okay, we got the Great Depression. That's what we're referencing when we say never again, right? They said never again will our banks fall on hard times. It's not the welfare of the people, it's the welfare of the banks. So when you have welfare, what happens is now government has an excuse to create money all willy-nilly out of thin air, right? Because the banks are supposed to be the people who create money, right? That's supposed to be the only entity that does. But if the banks fall on hard times and has no money, right?
Right.
Who creates money? The government says, well, I guess we have to step in and create money. Who do we give the money to? The people. The people become what? All we become is savings accounts for the banks, because the people then go deposit the money that the government gave them into the banks, and we bail the banks out.
And what that also does is it empowers the banks to direct and redirect and choreograph the distribution of resources.
Yes.
So now the banks have a greater measure into a greater pool of distribution of resource measurements, right? Because money is the measurement of labor. Money is a labor note. It is a means by which to store and redistribute labor. Whenever you collect money, you're collecting someone else's labor note.
Exactly. So we talk about this system.
And
Reggie, I don't want you to, you're getting too technical. It's going to go over people's heads. It's going to go over people's heads. Listen. Listen.
Labor is an economic imposition.
I got you, Reggie.
That's what we're talking about.
I got you. I got you. I got you, right? I got you. The banks, right? The banks have the inheritance, right? You talked about us having exchanging notes. If the banks create money, right, then the idea, this is the illusion, right? We got to break the veil. We have to break the disillusion of our people, right? We think we create money when we open a business. No, baby. No, you don't. What you create is a slave when you open a business. You create a legal slave. You get where I'm going with this?
Yep, I'm listening.
We are just manufacturers of products that exchange money from one hand to the next hand to go back to the bank at all times. That's it. We are just routes, distributing routes. So when you talk about importing and exporting, we talk about the importing and exporting of money, right?
Right.
Commodity. Now, that's the commodity. The commodity is the money, right?
Right.
So we have this false perception, right, that, oh, because I'm earning money. I'm creating money. I'm creating economics. I'm creating. No, 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 no. You don't do that until you have your own banks, which is the reason why we have yet to have a black bank. And I get it, right? We got One United. But come on now. One United been around for 25 years now and still don't have a physical bank in the hood. So who is One United really for? Not black people.
They're not distributing wealth on our behalf.
Thank you.
And when it comes to commodities, right, I was saying hard and soft currency are both commodities. I want to talk about hard currency commodities, which is, I'm saying, the assets, the products that are distributed and shipped around. And this is going to get just a little bit technical, but I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is an absolute key when it comes to gross domestic product and purchasing on gross as opposed to retail, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you hear wealthy people say all the time, I don't buy retail.
Right. Yep.
I don't buy retail. They don't unravel that. Because the thing is when you're buying high
Reggie,
volume.
Let's. We only got 5 minutes. Okay.
All right.
You're getting real technical.
When you buy and sell at high volume, you got the big money to move the big products
mm-hmm.
in bulk. That's when you own your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just strictly buy at the lower level, if you buy stuff in what is called macro, if you own your own business, you know what micro and macroeconomics is. If you're not in the macroeconomic sphere of trade internationally, you're not making no money. You don't
this
own
call
that.
Is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
That's good. Reggie, let's leave it right there. We only got 5 minutes, and I want you to tie back the African American Trust Fund.
Touch on the African American Trust Fund with this, because see, that's the African American Trust Fund is there to do. It's to create an economic system where we have our own international banking system, so we can buy into the large macroeconomic system of international exchange, so we can have the large amount of money to have our own corporations. So we can benefit from our own labor and quit working for other people and working for other banks and working for other banking systems, because we don't have a banking system and we can't be economically free until we have an African American trust fund or an anti-slave banking system or a banking system that is designed to set us free from economic enslavement. And that's what it is we're promoting with this show. But we're doing it in increments and trying to unravel some of the smaller nuances and some of the sociological nuances that have to go into liberating our mind. The African American Trust Fund is designed to protect the intellectual property of African American people and also invest in it and industrialize African American intellectual property, so that we can push it to the open market and for distribution and job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the African American Trust Fund is all about. That's what these at Ground Zero is trying to push and accomplish while we celebrate our humanity and our love for each other and for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got 2 minutes left. This has been a great show. And we forgot to say call in at 657-383-1630. We love for everybody that's in tune. We want you guys to tap in at www.aatrustfund.org. We have some of the products that are on the coast of on the agenda, basically, to get developed. We have explanations and definitions of how we define basically everything that we talked about, the corporate confederate agenda, our Pull for Humanity, about the Middle Passage, and all these great different key terms that you guys need to kind of tap into, and so that we can start start getting to the meat and the juice of where we're at in the state that we are in and where we go from here. So, yeah. Any last words, Reggie?
Yeah, let's celebrate Juneteenth and prepare to celebrate Juneteenth. And one of the things that we'd like to guide people towards, point people towards, is the economic boycott of the prison industrial complex, Confederate structure, that is going to be launched Juneteenth. And I hope that you call in, you donate. And we definitely need you to donate in order to get this massive project off the ground and running. I love you. I need you. I pray for you. Hopefully, we'll all celebrate our humanity together.
Pick up Juneteenth. Let's celebrate that with an economic boycott. Tap into the blog also, where you can communicate and directly with us. Tap in next Monday at 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern Time, for our next show, where we'll be trying to bring Chima Ajim back onto the show, so he can, you know, tell his story. So, next week.
Innocence abroad.
Peace.
Peace.